Well, we appreciate being able to worship the Lord again together this morning. What a treasure we have. And I pray that the Lord would feed our souls this morning. I feel like the Lord has given me some thoughts here, very simple subject, but not always so easy for everyone. I want to think a little bit about friends and friendship this morning. I kind of wrestled with this. Lord, is this really what you want? And every time I would ask him, it just seemed like he would give me more scriptures. So I want to just be faithful to give out the few thoughts he has given us. And I would like the Lord to help us each one this morning. We have a treasure, folks, in friends. And friendship and fellowship. We have a great treasure in that, and I hope that we can come to see a little clearer this morning the value of friends, friendship, and the way to get there, because it's not easy for everyone. And so I thought about the song that says, "Take time to be holy." I believe it's the first verse that says, "Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord, abide with him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek." I really believe the Lord wants you and I to make friends with God's children. I think he wants us to cross barriers, and he wants us to have that precious thing that is so valuable to you and I if we avail ourselves of it. It takes a little sacrifice sometimes, and it takes a little time. But I want to think about some of the blessings starting in Deuteronomy 13 and 6. For the sake of time, I am going to just quote some of these or just read them here. It says, Deuteronomy 13 and 6, "If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul," and it goes on, but I just want to catch that phrase right there, because there's something really valuable there. It talks about your friend, which is as your own soul. And I think about the 1 Samuel 18, we're pretty familiar with this, but in 1 Samuel 18 and 1, it tells us, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul," now this was David, and David had just slain Goliath in this great battle that was troubling all of God's people, as those kind of battles do, and here we see that David had done this heroic deed. And it said, "When he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan," that was Saul's son, "the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." And back in Deuteronomy, the Lord tells us that there are those that are friends that you love as your own soul. Now, you know, that is something that not everybody in life experiences. But it is there for us. And I think about the blessing that Jonathan and David had there as two of them, and the blessing they had as that kind of a friendship developed between them. And we see here that that through David's life, he needed Jonathan. David was the king to be, but you know, he was very vulnerable at many times, and Jonathan ran interference for him. He helped him. Jonathan was there for David. He was looking out for this friend that he loved as his own soul. And this morning, there are feelings that can be within Not everybody experiences this. I have found that many do not. But I believe the Lord has something a little better for us sometimes if we allow it, or if we search for it, if we build it into our lives, if we allow it to be. We find that many times people in their youth, things happen in their lives. Sometimes trust is breached. Sometimes there's a lot of reasons why people, maybe they have been hurt through life. Maybe there are just personality issues and things. And we find that people many times become isolated. And the Lord, I believe, has something better than that for us. He has something that a friend that you love as your own soul. I have found people like this in my life. I just say that to say it is an awesome blessing. One of the greatest things of life is to find those friends that you love as your own soul and that you have that kind of connection to. I believe the Lord would like more of us to have, all of us actually, to have those kind of connections. I remember one time I went to Jefferson camp meeting, and my brother-in-law Bob Wilson and his wife was pastoring out there, and we went to the meeting, and it still is an emotional thing to me. I went to there, and we got there, and I had determined, if I remember right, I determined already I'm not taking their bedroom, because I knew how Bob was, and so when we got there, it's like, oh no, we've already got it all set up. Well, they gave us the master bedroom with the own shower and all of that, and then we went in, and there was this nice basket, and it was full of all kinds of stuff, cheese and nuts and chips and snacks and all kinds of good things, grapes and cherries, and it was just full of all kinds of things. Do you know that was just another link in the chain that we had between us? And it was just another one of those things that just bonded my heart to his. Because it's been that kind of relationship all along, just about. And I thank God for that this morning. Those kind of relationships are very beneficial in our lives. And so I want to think about a little bit here in a few minutes about not only the blessing of what it is, but how do we get there? And what is it that many times hinders those kind of relationships? Maybe we don't think that we could ever have those kind of relationships, but I believe it is possible, not only possible, but a privilege of the people of God. And so I want to read what Clark says here about Jonathan. Loved him as his own soul. The most intimate friendship subsisted between them, and they loved each other with pure hearts fervently. There wasn't any impure things in their love. It was a love that transcends the impure things of life. It was a love of respect. It was a love of, he saw David. He saw how David gave himself to God. And he saw how God blessed him. And he saw how the Lord worked. And somehow the two of them became knit together. And their hearts, through mutual respect and love, became knitted together. And it was a blessing to both of them through their life that they had that. And he goes on to say, no love was lost between them. Each was worthy of the other. They had a friendship which could not be affected with changes or chances, and which exemplified all that the ancients have said on the subject. Friendship produces, and he quotes the ancients, I suppose, friendship produces an entire sameness. It is one soul and two bodies. A friend is another self. And so this morning, whether we totally understand that or not, I hope that we can get a little vision this morning of something that God wants to bless us with in our lives in a little deeper way. I believe that the Lord loves to do what he did for us. He loved us. He loved us when we weren't even worthy. He was capable of that kind of love. And do you know, he wants to put within us a capability to go over the things of life that would keep us in our little shell. When we are in our little shell, we want to remember that we're one. And when we become bonded with others and working with others, isn't there something in the Bible that says one can chase how many? 1,000 and two how many? 10,000. It's greatly compounded. And so the battles that we face in life are much more doable when we have somebody that we've bonded with or some bodies. And I believe the Lord wants to bond many of us together. We don't just have to have one friend, but I believe that we can be bonded with a number of people. And I find it that way. I think about the foundation many times of a real loving friendship. Many times it starts in hard places. People bear a load together. They face tragedy together. And there's something that bonds there, isn't there? And something that begins to happen and work. But you know, people have to be willing to work together in order for that to happen. They have to be willing to face tragedy together. They have to be willing to come out of their little cocoon and their little world and allow that world to be intertwined, as thread is in a shirt or something, to be intertwined with others. And I believe if we will let the Lord do this for us, folks, this will be a great blessing to us. One thing that the early saints were known for, and I believe we're known for, is that they loved one another. They loved one another. That love is something that I know comes from God. But I will tell you, it has to be worked with. It has to be something that that we exercise as well. I think about David and Jonathan. It says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. You know, there was the covenant was not the strength of this thing. It was because they loved one another that they gave their word to one another like this. You could have never said, okay, let's make an agreement, and this is just the way. I'm gonna stand in there, life or death. You could not do that because you can't do that just on a whim for somebody. But I will tell you, when you love somebody as your own soul, you might put yourself in the place of great harm for their benefit. So we have to allow ourselves to go out. Lord, teach us how to love. Teach us how to have friends and make friends of God's children and become part of that network and that that fabric that can bear weight and that can get jobs done. And can you see a rope, you see a big cable, you see them holding bridges up. You know, they don't make a big old fat cable. They take a bunch of small cables and they intertwine them. And it's much, much stronger that way. So we're not looking to become all on our own some icon of strength. But if we will allow the Lord to teach us how to become intertwined with others, teach us how to become friends, teach us how to have fellowship one with another on deeper levels, folks, I believe that we will find a really rich blessing in the midst of these kind of things this morning. I'm just going to give you the scriptures that I feel like the Lord kept bringing to me. In Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one. Now, you know, we use that at weddings, don't we, sometimes? But it's not just for weddings, folks. It's a statement that is true. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone, a friendship, fellowship relationship, and one of you started having struggles and troubles, and the other one just kicked in and encouraged and strengthened? That's the value. That's the strength. That's how we become stronger than we are alone, when we intertwine with one another. I want to encourage us not to throw this out as, well, it's not going to happen for me, because I know it's pretty obvious that can be the case many times, folks. But the Lord help us today. Lord, teach us how to intertwine and how to love and how to be friends like this, where that not only can I strengthen someone else, but they will strengthen me maybe 10 times. And now I have 10 times the strength that I have. Yes, I believe that this morning. Is that not true? And so it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. We find this in all aspects of life. We find this in the animal world. My son was in Africa. Matthew was in Africa one time. And he said they were setting up on a bluff and they were watching, I think it was wildebeest, that were coming by the thousands and just going across this river. And he said you could sit up there and watch the crocodiles under the water just waiting. And as soon as one would get off to themselves a little bit, they were attacked immediately. I mean, they were waiting. They were just there for that moment. And so that's the way it is. By ourselves, we stand alone many times, and we face hard things much harder. And so this morning, if the Lord could help us, I believe it would be a blessing to us. Verse 12 goes on to say, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I know the Lord has to be in this too, in order for this to be strong like that. But God help us that we find the joys in our life, that we find the joys of friendship this morning, and that we find how to find those joys of friendship. Proverbs 17 and 7 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Do you know that that's another one of those blessings? A friend loveth at all times, not just when things are good, but when you bond like that. Folks, and you go through things, you get to a place where you're willing to suffer with one another. And I will tell you, that brings blessing, it brings strength, it brings ability to see things done that other ways it could not happen. But it has to be cultivated. I want to encourage us that this is not just out there, but it begins with a husband and a wife. Do you know that if two want this, they can have it? It can't happen with just one. But if two want this, it can happen. And if one wants it bad enough, it might be able to bring the other one to that place. But I want to encourage us that these kind of relationships, friendship, loving one another, giving. How does a relationship like that work? How did it work with the Lord and us? I believe he made some pretty big leaps to get to us. Proverbs 18 and 24 starts telling us a little of the way this happens. It says here, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Do you know that by our habits and our ways, some children are just not as friendly as others? But it doesn't mean they always have to be that way. They can learn different, can't they? And you start working on them. No, be nice. Be nice to those other children. You know, and then maybe they won't throw things at you. You know, these are just little things that we learn. But folks, a friend, it says here, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I just want to encourage us this morning to show ourselves friendly. Do everything we can to open the door. That takes a little humility. It takes a little stretching over when we're not received well. And maybe in time, we'll make another friend. It can happen, and I know it has happened many times that way. I think about Proverbs 27 and 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. We have to have tools sharpened, don't we? I've used a chainsaw enough times to know that when that thing gets dull, you can spend a long time getting through a log. And that thing will start burning. It'll start smoking. It will put you to all kinds of work and you're getting very little done. But you know, you take a file, it's not the same as the chainsaw. It's very different than the chainsaw. And you can file that those teeth on that thing and put that back in and it just melts its way through, it seems like. You can do that. Folks, the way we deal with one another, we don't have to be just like one another. We can be very different and become very good friends. And so this morning, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Our words to one another, our counsel to one another, the encouragement of one another, the helping hand when we need it. Do you know those things? They sharpen each other, don't they? Sometimes we get to lagging a little. You ever lagged a little? I have. And I will tell you, you need maybe a friend to come along and sharpen you up a little. You might need a friend to say, hey, brother, what are you hanging your head for? What's going on? You can get to that kind of relationship with one another. But we have to let people in. And we have to work at this. We have to invest in this kind of thing. It takes a little time for investments to pay off. And I want to encourage us. The saints are people that love one another, folks. That's whoever has God in their heart loves one another. And I want to tell you something. The Lord wants that love to become something very, very precious to you and me in our everyday lives. Proverbs 27 and 9 and 10. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. A brother far off might wish he could help you, but he can't help you necessarily. He's got work to do. He can't leave his family and help you like a friend that's next door or in the same congregation. The song says this. This is the family of God, I think the name of it is. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family, and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. Just want to encourage us this morning to make the investment to become a part of the family of God. Maybe sometimes we just think of salvation as something just between us and God. But what it does is it puts God's love within us. And there are places the Lord wants to take that love. He wants it to enlarge. He wants it to be multiplied by a factor. And that means that it increases exponentially. He doesn't want us to just stand in our own boots and do more and more as we can, and that's all we can do. Folks, let's intertwine with one another. Big projects can happen when people intertwine. Things can be done. Things can be moved. Mountains can be moved when people work together and pull together. And so this morning, the Lord help us that we will do that. That we will that we will become intertwined like that. I want to think about a few things this morning that will hinder friendship. And I know that not all of us this is really going to apply to, but I will tell you something. There are things that can keep us from being able to be friends. In Proverbs 23 and 6 to 8, it says here, Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he to thee. But his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. You know, I'm guessing that the prodigal son experienced this. I'm guessing that that there was a time that he gave himself, he developed relationships that were not based on substance. And so he went out and the prodigal son began to waste his money. I can tell you what happened without knowing him. He gathered friends together, and they had parties. And they went and they did things. But when his money ran out, we have no more record. It says that he went, and he would hardly fill himself with the husk that the swine ate, because he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And where was his friends? What was going on? They weren't friends, were they? Friends are givers, folks. Friends are folks that we give to one another. We have to open ourselves up and give to be a friend. We have to develop relationships. We have to be willing to be intertwined with others, to be willing to let their word count just like ours does. But we see here that this evil eye, there was something evil in this relationship. This person, he said, don't eat the bread of him that hath an evil eye. When we search out friends of the world through parties and all of that kind of thing, that's not a true friend. But there are true friends. I want to read a couple of other places that maybe will make this more clear that what I'm talking about. In Genesis 16 and 3 to 5 is a story that it's really a tragedy. I don't know what kind of relationship here, Genesis 16 and 3, that Sarah had with Hagar. But it says, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. I will tell you what was wrong here. There was something wrong. There was something evil in this relationship. And when we form relationships that are evil, folks, whatever kind of relationships we have, they can be this kind of relationship, they can be business relationships, they can be just different ways people can join together. When evil is involved, you will never find that kind of friend that will stay with you, and 30 years later, you're still the same kind of friend you were then. But there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I know we make that in reference to the Lord many times. But folks, let's learn how to be those kind of friends this morning. I think about Genesis 4 and 8 to 13. And we see here the story of Cain and Abel. And it says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." You know, this morning, Cain and Abel were brothers. And they could have been best friends. They could have been. I hope you have some family members. I have a brother that has been a best friend to me all my life, since he was born. And do you know, that has been a relationship that has been a heavenly. I've been there when he was about to die and prayed for him. It was a special time, and the Lord was there. And the Lord answered those prayers. He's been there for me when I needed him. Folks, this morning, I just want to encourage us to get a glimpse that God wants to give some special things to you and me. And it's in the way of friends. It's in the way of friendship. It's in the way of fellowship. It's especially valuable when you have the fellowship of the Lord in the midst of those things. But Cain, his jealousy stole the possibility for them to be best friends. They couldn't do that. Do you know that there are things, folks, that hinder us from becoming close friends with other people? There are things that hinder that. I would like for us to ask the Lord today, "Lord, is there things that hinder my ability to be close friends with someone else? Are there things that do I let jealousy?" Well, I know not too many of us probably struggle with that, but probably some do. Do you know that there's many other things, though, that can be, when there is an element in our relationship of the flesh, it destroys it. It destroyed this ability between Cain and Abel, and it, in fact, ended up with murder, is what happened. And so this morning, what is it? Is there some selfishness in me that I would be taking instead of giving? Is there something that I just have built a shell around me and I'm not going to get hurt? You know what? Those things are real because people have been hurt very bad. Only God can heal some of those things. But I want to encourage us, because the value of having friends and friendship is so great that it's worth asking the Lord, "Lord, open me up. 10 times the strength of what I have, I think I'll go for that. I think I'll be that to somebody else, and I want them to be that to me." Surely we can find some that we could bond with in that way. Yes, it takes something from us, and I know that many of us want those things. I know many of us do. But folks, it takes a real giving from the inside out to have this kind of love between people. David and Jonathan, their love was very unselfish. They gave to one another. We find them all through life supporting one another until Jonathan was killed, and then David so lamented that this one that had meant so much to him was gone. There wasn't any comforters for Cain. Cain separated himself. He isolated himself. He let evil do that in his life. Let's don't let anything do that to us. It may not be murder. It may not be something on that level. But do you know, just our own way, our own selfishness, our own attitudes, our own, can separate us from the great blessing that God wants to give to you and me this morning. The Lord help us. When evil enters into a relationship, it becomes toxic. It becomes unable to bear that kind of weight and be intertwined closely with other people because other people won't allow it. They won't let you into that place. So we have to keep that. We ourselves cannot go into that place many times. In Proverbs 16 and 28, it says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Do you know that I have seen people that were friends and began to whisper, began to gossip, and that friendship was ended up being broken. It ended up being crushed, being taken away. I believe the Lord wants to teach us how to be friends, how to unselfishly be to one another in such a way that trust can develop, because friendships require trust too, don't they? And so we want to be that way. Six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. And you know, one of those things is he that soweth discord among brethren. Do you know discord is selfishness? It is selfish to sow discord and to do those things. You know, when somebody wants the good of everybody, they're not sowing discord. They're trying to bind people together. They're trying to make people love one another. They're trying to help people over the hurdles of life. And so this morning, the Lord wants to do that. I think about Hebrews 10. I'll give you a few more scriptures here before we quit. Hebrews 10 and 24. It says, "And let us consider one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching." Do you know that the Lord wants us to be able to exhort one another, to be able to provoke one another? Oh, not to wrath, not to anger. That's pretty easy to do. We know the buttons to push, don't we? But it says to provoke one another to love and to good works. And to exhort one another. This is something that as we bind with one another, we come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm thankful for the binding together we have in our congregation there. We come on Wednesday night, and I will tell you, practically every Wednesday night, I am wonderfully blessed by being here, just sitting and listening to all the exhortations and the testimonies that God's been doing in others' lives. Do you know what a strength that is to us, to be able to hear that, to be able to be challenged by that kind of thing, challenged by our brethren and their walk with the Lord? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. Do you know sometimes the splinter has to be cut open to get it out. there has to be a little bit of, that thing's not coming out. My dad used to pull his pocket knife out or his little box knife. And I know that's probably not medically, but he'd just whittle that thing out and then he'd pull it out. Do you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend? We love one another, don't we? Sometimes we need to help each other past the pain. Sometimes we need to help each other past the thing that's in our skin and in our place. Maybe one more, perhaps. John 15 and 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord is very interested in us and our joy being full. Do we realize that this morning? He really is. And he says here, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you know the Lord led the way for us, didn't he? And he laid down his life for us. There isn't any greater love than that, he says. And I believe that this morning. The Lord help us to be to one another and to allow that to happen and to open our hearts to learn how to be a friend on a deeper level. I think there's places here the Lord wants you and I to go, or I don't think he would have given this morning. So pray for us too, that we can intertwine with you all in the ways that we need to. Remember, noble traits inspire others to respect and love. Fleshly traits inspire disrespect, selfishness, dishonesty, those things. Become a server. The scriptures tell us that a gift prospers wherever it goes. You know, this morning, there's some folks, if we can't get close to anyone else, I'll tell you who you can get close to. People that are worse off than you. You can go serve them. And you will be amazed at how those things begin to increase then and blossom. And they teach us. And it's not only a blessing to them, but it's a blessing to us too. You pray for me.